The British Army Training Unit Kenya, or BATUK, is home to nearly 400 service personnel and their families for up to 2 years. Those numbers quadruple up to 8 times a year when visiting units up their light and mechanised infantry skills on several of BATUK's training areas. There wasn't a training exercise on when we were visiting, but if anything, that gave us more time to hear about the lives of those stationed there, whether they're on a 2-year posting or on a 6-month unaccompanied stint. Major Gary Wallace is the quartermaster at Nanyuki Barracks, a 4-hour drive from Nairobi and BATUK's hub.
It's a fantastic opportunity for, you know, children, families and single people. You know, you've got a fantastic safari just 40 minutes from your doorstep. The work routine, yes, it's busy, but you plan ahead and there's plenty of opportunities for leave, whether that's here, safari, or indeed down the coast in Malindi or Mombasa. So a fantastic opportunity to see a different part of the world.
If you and yours are joining the 100 or so families in BATUK, you'll be met by a sponsor when you get off your 9-hour flight from London. And after a little admin at Kifaru Barracks in the capital, it's a long slog north in a bus to the foothills near Mount Kenya and home for the next couple of years, the town of Nanyuki. Colour Sergeant Billy Halliwell is the welfare officer for BATUK. He might be the one picking you up at the airport, and he says you probably won't hold on to your first impressions of Kenya for too long.
Going through Nairobi, seeing all these shantytown buildings and all that, it is a very scary feeling. But then once you do get past Nairobi and then you start coming into the countryside, coming up to Nanyuki, it starts getting green and, you know, there's loads of places to come and see, resorts, you know, there's swimming pools, outdoor pools. But you've just got to allow that 2-week period of just getting settled in here and then you should be fine.
And once you're in, unpacked, kids sorted at school and work kind of knows who you are, it's time to explore.
There's whitewater rafting, you can do mountain biking, rock climbing, parachuting if you want to do parachuting, risk your life. Go down the beach, scuba diving. Every bit of AT you could probably think of, you can do out in Kenya.
We do Mandazi Fridays. It's a local, best I can describe as a flat donut. And we bring all the CSS group in together wherever they're from, and we have a coffee and a mandazi, and it's a nice bit of social for us.
That's Captain Kyle Franklin from Stores.
We have sports afternoons with each other. We've had the odd night out together. We do a lot as a team to try and keep that bond going.
Okay, so Stores. Think massive hangar. No, I mean even bigger than that. 12,000 items, including ammo, vehicle parts and even bedside tables, make this the British Army's largest overseas account. Captain Carl Franklin's got the big clipboard.
The primary function of the second line store is to sustain the workshop. So the workshop do all the maintenance of the fleet. The battle group come in and inevitably wreck a few vehicles. Workshop repair them, and we hold as much as we can to facilitate the fast repair of vehicles so that the battle group can get maximum training value.
Gathering data from a range of exercises over a number of years means Kyle and his colleagues can put together a pretty accurate picture of what their shelves should look like.
Things like starter motors go quite frequently, so we know we need to hold a decent size of starter motors because they're fast-moving items. And then if it's a slow-moving item that we don't have and they need one urgently, we get it out via air freight. If not, it comes on sea freight every 2 or 3 weeks. We have boats in.
And in case you're wondering, I did ask, and no, he wouldn't give me his spare. To the workshops now, and Sergeant Ernest Ikoa, who's a Commonwealth soldier and a Kenyan national. He's back on home turf, at least for this posting.
We're looking at the hangar, where there's lots of people repairing, maintaining vehicles. Everything from quad bikes to 15-ton vehicles, minus V. That's basically to hand over to the exercising troops when they come. Make sure that they have all the vehicle platforms they need for the duration they'll be here to perform everything they need to perform for that exercise and make it a success.
The workshop is a mix of serving personnel and locally employed civilians. He says the LECs know how to get the job done and they bring local knowledge and continuity. There's at least 2 languages under a huge roof, never mind the complexities of British accents and technical abbreviations. But that's where Ernest's command of the local language comes in more than handy.
Sometimes when they don't understand what's been said, they're afraid of asking for someone to repeat themselves. So they'll then come to me and ask, I didn't get what was said, and I'll repeat to them in Swahili. Then they'll understand what's supposed to be done.
And during downtime, there's an opportunity to brush up on those promotion courses to keep career advancement going. 13 Army Education Centre make regular visits to Kenya. But we couldn't end this without praising Ernest's fluency in not only English and Swahili, but also British Army abbreviations.
What used to be JCLM, PNCO and CSCLM.
Nice one, Ernest. That's Ernest Ikoa at the workshops in Batak. It's a full-on job, live firing on the ranges and honing light roll and mechanised infantry skills. But there's also the chance to get involved and to help with some life-changing projects beyond the wire. Major Michelle De Bono Evans leads the community engagement team. As well as supporting local women's refuges and schools, Batak also engineer freshwater boreholes. One well can provide for 1,000 families, local farmers and wildlife.
We have lots of partnerships both internally. We have engineers and things like that who have specific skill sets. We also have visiting units who come in who will bring the broad range of skills that the Army has to offer. We also work with local NGOs. So there's a specialist water NGO that we work with, and we employ local contractors to actually put the boreholes in when our engineers are not available.
It's estimated Batak's presence in Kenya contributes around £60 million a year to the economy. But it's not just about the numbers. Michelle says it's about the impact their contribution has on the quality of life there.
The local women sang a song to say thank you, and it was just incredible. It's really humbling to have that impact on people, and that's what we want to continue to do. We want to continue to bring our resources, our experience, our skills to bear where we can to provide better conditions for people. We want to leave more than we take.
Access to clean water isn't an issue on camp, but regardless of where you are in country, a loose regard for the highway code, viral infections and extreme heat can all spoil your day. And if you're on a dusty range 4 hours north of Nanyuki and miles from the nearest road, help comes by helicopter.
We work on a civilian airframe that is similar to that seen in the UK, the UK's air ambulances. Back in the Afghanistan days, where you had the Chinook, you had plenty of space and a 3-5 man team to be able to deal with the casualties. Here we live with one clinician and it's still very cramped on the aircraft. Sometimes we might lift two clinicians depending on how badly injured or how bad the illness is of the patient. But it can be difficult working in the air here.
That's Corporal Danny Butler, who's detached to Batak from British Forces Cyprus. Along with Squadron Leader Rachel Tomlinson, they make up MERT, or the Medical Emergency Response Team. They're a speck of RAF blue on an otherwise mountain of Army green. MERT can be at their busiest during exercises, but they're on call 24/7. With a civvy pilot navigating challenges like flying choppers at altitude, landing in difficult terrain and managing refuelling stops, they can focus on their jobs as medics. Rachel's a reservist. She normally works as an emergency medicine nurse at the John Radcliffe Hospital in Oxford and says the skills she's picked up during her time in Kenya have made her better at her job.
By coming out here and working alongside the army and trying to learn like the logistics chain when it comes to ordering kit and equipment, don't have that issue back at home, whereas here we do, and then you have to work alongside other people to overcome that. And then the impact on that for me is that I'm probably a better clinician when it comes to resource management and all those other bits and pieces. Whether that's technically a Batak benefit or just the benefit of deploying, I don't know. I'd let you argue that later on.
BFBS, the Forces Station.
Can you name three things you're guaranteed to see in any Forces location? So you may have met a dinger bell, you've definitely marvelled at the exquisite shade of magnolia on the walls, and almost certainly been to a coffee morning. But yours might not have been at a community centre in the foothills of Mount Kenya, picking between stalls of local produce and handicrafts and planning days out kayaking, hiking or wildlife spotting.
We've got rainbow trout, we've got some brown trout.
David Sutton takes small groups out on fishing expeds and mini safaris. He's just one of the traders invited to the weekly gathering. It's a comfortable space for new arrivals to see what's available and for local businesses to display their range.
I'll show you. Yeah, come, walk over here.
My name's Rajiv. What we do is specialty authentic Indian cuisine. It's good for us to learn about how they work and what they do and what the requirements are. So you'll get quite a few of them who'll come up and say, listen, I'm having a friend's birthday party this weekend. Could you prepare X, Y, and Z? And we do that.
I'm Danny. I'm Louise. We actually flew in on the same flight, although we didn't meet on the same flight. We met just as we stepped off as we were going through customs.
And have you struck up a friendship since then, presumably?
Oh, yeah. I've told her she's my friend. There's no way of getting around it. I think what's really nice is that both myself and Louise and our husbands, we're experiencing each step at the same time. So when we first got here and we were like booking into places or visiting places for the first time, we literally were like, oh, hi Louise, hi Louise. We were like there at the same time. So it's nice. It's a real shared experience, I think.
My name is Henry. I'm a Rasta. Yeah, coming over here to see my friends, the British Army guys. They're my good brothers. They do a lot to me. They're so loving and caring. So they give me a chance every time, every Wednesday, to pop in here, do some business with the soldiers. Yeah.
I take 2-3 people at a time, and we go and have fun. I put them out on the river with some gear, and away they go. And they catch fish. They don't catch fish. They have a great day out.
So I've done a few postings overseas. We've done Canada together for 2 years, and then we did a year in Germany as well. So I've done a few overseas tours with my husband. I've loved every single one of them.
And how does this compare? And it's hugely different, right?
This is hugely different. It's a lot more remote. It can be slightly more isolating, but it's an experience you're not going to get anywhere else in the world.
And even in the foothills of Mount Kenya, it's a lot warmer than Canada in the winter.
In the winter, yes. So in Canada, it was minus 40 in the winter, plus 40 in the summer. It's here, it's mid to late 20s all year round. So, yeah, it's a nice change.
And Danny, have you spent much time overseas?
No, this is our first overseas post. So we've tried. My husband's done 18 years, but it's just never been our time until now. So
that's a real eye-opener for you then, you know, starting off with a proper exotic one, if you like. What's your first impressions?
I love it. Even on the plane coming over, I was apprehensive. I've got 3 children who are all going to be educated here, different ages. Is it the right thing for them? Are they going to thrive? Are they going to like it? Because it was very hard to leave our last post. It was the longest time we'd lived somewhere for the whole time we've been moving around, been there 5 years. But they seem to be coping really well, and they seem to really like it. There's a lot of positives coming out of it. A lot of, like, firsts, which you just don't get the opportunity to do anywhere else. That's what I think this place offers. The estate that I'm on, people have been so welcoming, so kind, just approaching you, introducing themselves, introducing their children to my children, which has then helped settle my children, make them feel like they've got a bit more of a place, like they belong. And then coffee mornings like this, where you can just, you know, you have to encourage yourself to make new conversations, and otherwise I think the experience will be not as positive as what it could be. You've got to push out of your comfort zone, I think, a little bit.
But everybody's so good at offering advice. There's lots of groups that you can join. There's WhatsApp pages where you can ask any questions you want, and within seconds usually you've got the answer. So the support system here is amazing. Welfare are amazing.
Presumably that's really important in a place that's so physically and culturally different to anywhere you might have been before.
You do need the support of everybody around you, even just to go to the local supermarket and like go, well, where do I even start?
That's
with
quite
this?
Overwhelming, actually, first supermarket shop, your attempt at it.
I'm going to share something, ladies. I saw steak and kidney pies in a supermarket here yesterday.
Oh, did you?
I'm not saying it's a good thing, but I saw them, yeah.
No, so you can get most of your daily products and things like that. Sometimes it's a bit harder to get the meat that you want, or you'll go and there'll be no eggs because the delivery's not been in, because they only get like deliveries twice a week. The fruit and vegetables might not be as fresh as you used to, but then you can walk across the road from where your compound is, and there'll be a little market store that sells the bananas that you want at a really cheap price. So you've just got to find ways of getting around not having everything on your doorstep and not being able to just walk somewhere to get what you need.
You know, everything is different, but none of that's a negative. You've just got to immerse yourself in it and embrace it, and life's short and experiences like this are few and far between.